This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's going on, everybody? This is Jason. This is episode 634. This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. So glad that you're here. Today's recap, today's mission is to share what I got as value from the conversations I had with Deirdre Jones from the University of Toledo. If this is your first time catching an episode on the Authentic Persuasion Show, welcome. You've picked a fascinating place to start on this journey, 634 episodes in, where I am going to share my gems, what I got. Like, the biggest thing, and this, sometimes it's a challenge, is to be a host of a show and to have a guest on. I want to make it all about them. I want them to share. And I don't want to, like, they say something and then I go on a big monologue like the show is about them. But there's so many things that the guests say that I just love, or I want to react to, or I want to expand on. And so what I've decided is to use this episode every week, the Friday episode, the day five of the week, as my way to get on kind of my soapbox about this. Now, if this is your first episode, welcome. Glad that you're here. Make sure to check out the other episodes. Make sure to check out all of the conversations with Deirdre Jones, the three episodes from this week. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to leave a rating, leave a review if you're finding this via podcast, and that's an option. If you're finding this on the YouTube channel or any other video clips or anything like that, welcome as well. If not, make sure to check out the YouTube channel and follow that, because you can see all of the episodes on there as well. And let's dive into this. Now, the first part of the conversation, the first episode, is about authenticity. And for authenticity, now, when I brought up the topic with Deirdre in the first part of the conversation, one of the things that she talked about was her windy path. And I absolutely love that, because that feels like what I did. I mean, she went from athlete to thinking she wanted to go in sports broadcasting, to pharmacist, then into business, and just all over the place, and then obviously into higher education. And I think it's interesting, because a lot of people end up on a windy path, and I think there's a lot to be learned from a windy path. I know for me, it has made me very empathetic, and then also understanding of businesses, because I've done so many things and been a part of so many different things that, like, I get it at a different level instead of just understanding one business model. It will really make you empathetic. One of the things she said I absolutely love is that how to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Obviously, that's what I made the title of her episode, because it is such valuable advice, right? Like, that is a huge thing, is how do you get comfortable with being uncomfortable? Nailani Gruhl, in one of the first sessions of episodes, she was a student. And that was her big thing, is being comfortable with being uncomfortable. If she felt uncomfortable about something, that's what she should do more of. And I love that Deirdre brought that up as well. Now, the big thing is that she is talking about that from sales. Obviously, you got to get comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations or questions or not knowing everything and not fully understanding the other person. And that's the goal, is to learn, to ask questions, to figure it out. One of the parts I love about the program that she has been a part of there is that they require a purchasing class to learn about the buyer side, negotiation, legal, internal sales, like selling to other stakeholders in the organization, your boss, other people are going to be on the team. And I think that's huge. I think one of the challenges is that there's so many people under in sales and they don't understand the other perspective, or they don't look at the other perspective. Because here's the thing. In life, we are all customers every single day. Now, what's crazy, and how we're, most of us are spoiled now, is that if we want to buy something, we just go online, right? You can go on your phone, you can go on a website, go on Amazon, you can order what you want, have it get delivered in 1 to 2 days for most people and most things, free shipping, don't even have to leave the house. And that's just how we do, right? Like, I can go into an app and I can get lunch delivered and I can have it here without interacting without anyone. With anyone, without going anywhere, without doing anything other than picking it in the app and then sitting around and waiting for it to come. What happens is, when we're in sales, we forget that that's how we live in our regular life. And so we build these sales processes and want to reach out to people and expect them to answer and expect them to jump through our hoops and expect this and expect that. And we don't realize that we're asking them to do things we don't like doing in our regular lives, like we don't want to be sold to. And then you layer on the fact that if that person is a professional buyer, right? Meaning they're at a company and they're buying something on behalf of a company, not just an individual ordering lunch. Then there's so much more involved, and so many people in sales, especially when they're new, especially if they're young in the world of business, not young age-wise, but just young in understanding how business works, and they've never been on a business side and a buying side, which most people in sales won't ever be, then they don't understand it and they don't think about it and they don't empathize and they don't care and they don't build a process around what the other side is dealing with. And I love the fact that with her program, it's required to take a purchasing class. And then, of course, what's fun is the purchasing class is then role-playing with the sales class, and they both have their own objectives, and they're both playing their own games, which is more close to what happens in the real world, which I absolutely love. Instead of someone pretending to be a buyer, you now have a buyer's class acting as buyers. Other thing here, and I almost made this the title of her first episode, episode 631, is that there is an art and a science to sales, and there's no magic phrases. There's literally no magic phrases. There's no silver bullet. There's no shortcut. There's no, if you say this, you will close more deals. Like, that's just fundamentally not the case. It's because there's an art. It's because there's a science. It's because you're dealing with humans. Humans are unpredictable. You as a human in sales is unpredictable. Your potential clients, potential buyers, they're unpredictable because they're humans. And there's no way to have one magic phrase. Anyone who's selling you that, or if you're on the hunt for that magic phrase, I promise it will not work, and it will not work at scale. It might work some of the time, but it's never going to work enough for it to be a consistent thing, right? Like, you can fill your toolbox with phrases and strategies and tactics and mindsets and ideologies and frameworks and fundamentals and processes and all that. But it's a toolbox, right? You then have to know what you're dealing with as far as something that you want done, and then know how to reach into the toolbox and get the right tool, right? Are you building a cabinet? Are you fixing the sink? Are you fixing your car? Are you building a fence? Like, it's going to be different, right? The tools that you're going to pull out of the toolbox for different projects. Again, I've said this before. I said this on a recent conversation here on the podcast, a solo episode, is that, you know, some people look for that magic phrase. It's like buying a hammer and then thinking everything is a nail, and you just got to hit everything over the head with that hammer because you think everything's a nail. And you just see that. I see that where it's like, I can tell when someone got a hold of spin or challenger sale, and then they just challenger sale the crap out of everybody in every interaction. And it's like, please stop, man. Like, please, please stop. That doesn't work all the time on all the people in all the situations of all the sales. That's just not how it works. And it's sales malpractice when you try to solve every issue or help every single person with the same tool. Right? It just doesn't work. All right, enough of that. Let's dive into part two, which is about persuasion and the sales process. And so one of the big things I asked her is, what do buyers want? Is they want a salesperson who will help them sell internally. It's getting more and more complex. I mentioned a book recently, The Sales Innovation Paradox, and there's research being quoted in there, and I don't have it completely offhand, but it's talking about how many stakeholders or people used to be involved in a buying process. And now how many is it? It was like 5 to 6. And now it might be like 8, 10, 12. And so whoever you're talking to that you're selling to is going to have a group of people that they're going to have to persuade to, that they're going to have to sell to. And furthermore, for people listening to the show, because I come from a B2C background, for all of my audience, for my group, for my amazing authentic persuaders out there who are in a B2C realm, always remember that they're going to have to sell this to other people. Now, what do I mean? Right? You might be thinking, well, I'm selling this individual who's single, let's say a watch, right? Let's say it's an expensive watch, expensive relative, right? So I'm selling this individual person a watch or an insurance policy, like let's say car insurance, home insurance, medical insurance, like something like that, right? Let's talk about something where it's, you know, people are familiar with it. You're just selling it. I'm just selling it to that individual. They're single. There's not other people involved. Here's the deal. And this is what happens, business to business and business to consumer. It's why I say it's H to H, is because no matter what you're selling, that person is going to have to explain it to other people. Now, If I sell insurance to you and you're single, you might be thinking, well, they don't have to explain that to anybody. They're single, right? But at some point, they're going to talk to parents, family, friends. Somebody's going to say, why did you sign up for that insurance? Why did you get that coverage? Why are you using that company? I've got a company. You should have used mine, right? I've seen that before with people who buy a car. Single person buys a car. They have nobody to answer to. It's not like they have to explain this to their spouse, right? It's their single. Then what happens is they go to work. They're excited. They buy the car on Sunday. They can't wait. They go on Monday, super excited. I've seen this, and it's just it's painful to watch from the outside. Then what happens is they tell their coworkers. Their coworkers say, oh my gosh, you bought a new car. That's great, right? There's always that one coworker. It's always that one friend. It's always that one associate. There's always that one family member who thinks they know everything and they think they're smarter than everyone else. And they say, well, what did you pay for that car? Oh, I paid $39,000. Oh, well, you overpaid. You should have got it for $36,000. Did you buy the extended warranty? Did you buy the undercoat protection? Did you buy this? Oh, they totally screwed you. Oh, what was your interest rate? Oh, yeah, you totally got screwed on that. Like you really missed out. Then what happens? And I've seen this with people, right? I've seen this exact scenario play out where now that person is embarrassed. They feel buyer's remorse. They feel like, oh my gosh, I did make a bet. Did I really do this? And now they're no longer excited about sharing the car and what happened and what they bought with other people. Now, they still might like the car. That it depends on if they did they buy the car to impress other people? Did they buy the car because they just actually like the car? But I promise what will happen is they won't be as excited. They're not going to go tell new people because now they've had this negative experience of buying something, sharing it, somebody crapping all over them for the decision they made, and now they've got it. But that's what happens. Like they've got to sell it to themselves every single day. Then they've got to sell it to other people and they've got to stand by that choice and know they made the right choice no matter what. Like I've bought things where people are like, I can't believe you paid that much. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And I don't care because it was worth it, right? Like I know what I bought and I know why I wanted it. And that just is. And other people's opinions don't really matter to me because I know. But you have to, as a salesperson, you have to really help people understand that. So B2C, B2B, it doesn't matter. Remember, you're going to help somebody and you've got to help them by selling it internally. If they're selling it internally in the business, it's before the sale happens. If you're selling B2C, it might be before the sale happens because you got to get the spouse involved or a parent has to sign off, or you're selling to a parent and the adult child has to sign off, right? Like think of senior housing, senior living, assisted living, right? Like the adult children better sign off on it or you're going to have a problem, right? So there's always somebody. And so that's what you should be doing. You should understand who's involved and then you should arm that person with as much information as possible to help them sell internally, because once you let them loose from your conversation, they're on their own and they're either going to win or not. And most people aren't good at sales, which means if you don't arm them, they're going to fail because it's not going to work. So you've got to be in a coaching relationship with them. You've got to help them with the process. You've got to understand their process and then give them everything that you can for their process. And I think that's so important. Now, another part, as we get back to this conversation that Deirdre and I had, one of the things she said is buyers have a lot more information now than they ever had, which I talk about all the time. But here's what's fascinating. I'm just starting to hear this too, is, but what is reliable, right? There's a lot of research you can do, but at what point is what I'm researching, let's say I want to buy some technology. Yeah, but every company is going to say how amazing they are, right? And how their stuff is better. But who's reliable, right? Because all these companies are just marketing and sales for themselves. And so what's reliable? What's safe? What makes the most choice? And at some point, there's so much information. And now there's too much information. If I Google something, like I'm going to have an unlimited number of pages of results, some sponsored, some not, YouTube videos, blog articles, all kinds of experts who will help me. And then it gets confusing because there's too much and it's overwhelming. And it actually has the reverse effect, which is confused mind never buys. So they myself just say, you know what? It's easier to do nothing, which is funny because that's what we talk about in that second episode, which is so amazing, is, you know, she even said change is a booger, which I wrote down, which is hilarious. But losing sales to status quo is so frustrating. It's, I know that you need help. I know that you have a goal. I have the solution. You decide to do nothing. Right? And it goes back to the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Our mind does not like change. Change is dangerous. Going outside of our comfort zone is dangerous. You layer on that a B2B environment where it's not just me making a mistake or risking me, but it's risking my job, it's risking my reputation, it's risking the whole company, it's getting shamed by the whole company and not just myself. Like, there's so many layers to it that I've covered so many times. This is what I work with companies on, is understanding their sales process around this, that so many times you lose to nothing, as she says, right? You lose the sale to nothing. I don't lose it to competition. I don't lose it to the company cutting back. I don't lose it to no budget being available. I just lose it to nothing, to status quo. And that is so painful. When you can figure that out and how to build a sales process and use the fundamentals like I have in the authentic persuasion pathway, then you will not lose deals as much to status quo. Now, some people aren't going to change, but that shouldn't be a reason that you lose deals at scale. Just remember, what's in it for them, right? And I want to say it's Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, way back in the day, WWIFM, right? What's in it for me? In your case, what's in it for them? Like, what's in it for them, personal and professional? Why would they want to buy? What does it mean for them? All right, let's go to part three. Part three is about the future of sales. And here's what she said, right? So I talked to her and I asked, you know, what do buyers want more of? They want more transparency. They want more help. They're done with people who are not there to help, right? People who are just useless. They want authentic. They want sincere. They want people who understand that they're wearing multiple hats. Everyone in an organization, if you're in sales and you've never been in leadership or running a company or running a team, then you don't understand who you're selling to and what they're really up against. This is what I talked about earlier. And so you don't understand how everybody is so busy doing so many roles and so wearing so many hats. No matter how structured the organization is, everyone is doing lots of things. And so you have to understand that. That's why you have to respect their time. You have to. You must respect their time, empathize with what they're going through, and give them the most value you can, because they're not going to be patient and they're not going to be tolerant of you wasting their time or wasting their energy or needing stuff from them versus giving to them. And I think that's important. Now, final part of the episode, we were talking about AI, technology. You have to be mindful that we have to be focused on relationships. I know I keep saying have to a lot in this, but this is so important. Your one job is to be a human interacting with another human. Technology will replace and automate and augment so many different things in your role. At the fundamental basis of it, your job is to have relationships, build relationships, find issues, find problems, find goals that you can help somebody solve or achieve. And then that's your value. So it should be all about relationships. And sales, as she says, will continue to be the cutting edge of how we serve customers, because sales with people is going to be how we help people at scale, especially with complex issues, complex goals, right? If it's easy, go back to ordering it online. Super easy. I'll go on there. I buy the software. I buy my lunch. I buy my car and get it from a vending machine and then deliver it on a truck. Like, it doesn't matter. But if it's complex, I need salespeople. Salespeople have to be focused on relationships and always adapting and always evolving. So hopefully you found value in this. I appreciate you being here. Make sure to check out the three episodes with Deirdre Jones from University of Toledo. And I appreciate everything you're doing in sales. And thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.